Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on week three of our Now Playing series, and we were highlighting the Greatest Showman, the movie The Greatest Showman. I told our folks I enjoyed watching this film. I saw it a few months ago for the first time, actually, and enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed watching a film in a long time. Obviously not to the level of like Lord of the Rings, but really, really good film. And so I told our folks, one of the things, there's so many themes obviously in there, but one of them that popped out to me was P.T. Barnum, the main character of the film, this need for approval that he has specifically from the upper class, from the wealthy kind of aristocracy, the wealthy of society. He grows up poor, at least in the film, and I don't know how much all of this is true, you know, according to his real life. The movie is loosely based on the life of a guy named P.T. Barnum, and he grows up in the film, you know, and he sees his father, who's a working class gentleman, being mistreated by the wealthy, and specifically mistreated by the guy who I think eventually becomes his father-in-law in the film. And so, you know, he marries this girl who's from the wealthy class. He promises her a great life. Barnum is super talented and gregarious and imaginative. But while he's all of those things, he simultaneously is kind of insecure because he has this need for the approval of wealthy folks to feel like he's accepted by them, because in his mind, that's kind of what it means to arrive. Everything else, all his other successes aren't good enough unless he has the approval of his father-in-law and the people like his father-in-law, the respectable, quote-unquote, people of society. And so in the pursuit of that, he nearly throws everything else away, his marriage, his family, and the kind of larger family he's created at the circus. And so I took us to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I started just by talking about how many of us can resonate with that. This feeling of, you know, I'm not enough, and the solution we have in our head of, if I could just gain the approval of this person or this group in society, my workplace, my kids, my parents, whatever it may be, if I can gain their approval, that's going to solve that in my soul. And so I took us to Ephesians chapter 2 and read through Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10. And it starts by saying, and you were dead. This is Paul talking to believers in Ephesus about, hey, before Jesus, like apart from Christ, versus your life after you've been saved by Jesus. And he says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Those are four really hard verses even to listen to, because it's describing, man, this was our problem apart from Christ. Apart from Jesus, this is our natural state. Following, he says, the spirit, the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. He's saying we were following our sinful desires. We were dead in our sins. And man, like there's no hope in that, until he gets to verse 4, where he says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he goes on to tell us that our eternal destiny is that God is just going to show the immeasurable riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, that we've been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, and that for all eternity, we're going to be with Christ, and that in this life, God has prepared good works for us to do beforehand. And I told her, folks, if you really want to have your mind blown, just try to ponder that for a while, that all the good works we do as a result of being a believer in Christ, like those are prepared beforehand for us to do, and we're stepping into those. I mean, that's crazy to think about. But part of the reason I read Ephesians chapter 2 is I said, you know, what if we could be free of this need for approval from others to somehow feel good enough about ourselves? And I read Ephesians 2 in those verses and kind of asked the question, well, what does that have to do with approval? And the answer is sort of like nothing and everything. Nothing in the sense that he's not directly talking about approval right there. But if those things are true, like if this is who we were and what we were apart from Christ, and this is who and what we are because of Jesus, it has everything to do with this need for approval. The answer is, We don't need the approval of others if we have the approval of God. In some ways, I said, look, the problem we feel of, man, I don't feel like I'm enough, and some insecurities around, I need this approval of others. The truth is our problem's actually a lot bigger than that, according to the Bible. The truth is, man, our relationship with the Father, with the Creator, our Creator, is broken because of sin, and that we're dead in our sins and transgressions. The problem's actually much worse. And so I kind of took people through the exercise of just say it, right? Like, there's freedom in saying this. I'm not enough in my own strength. On my own, I'm not enough. But what's amazing is that the solution is so much better than we could have imagined. It's not, hey, you need the approval of others, which you may or may not be able to get. It's not, here's all the things you need to do to try to be enough. It's, man, God, rich in mercy, because of the love, the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, came down for us, and he was enough in our place. And he took our sin on the cross on himself. He died in our place, and then he rose again, and he offers new life to any of us who would turn from our sin and trust him. And the reality is, it's like, man, if I'm dead in my sin, then the approval of other people does not help me. That does nothing for me before the God of the universe. But if I have the approval of God, if I have the love of God through Christ, and I am forgiven and I'm made alive in him, then I really don't need the approval of other people. I don't need to people please. I don't need the approval of man when I have the approval of God. When I have the love of my Heavenly Father and I know that I'm made alive in him, I can be set free from the vicious cycle of saying, man, I don't feel like I'm enough, and I need to desperately look from that, from these other places. No, I know that I'm not enough apart from Christ, but in Christ, I'm fully known, fully loved. I have, as we talk about, a gospel identity. So in that knowledge, I want to pray for you this morning, and then I want to encourage you to take a moment and reflect on that, on your own life, how that impacts you. Are you living that out? Are you experiencing that freedom of knowing, man, I was dead in my sin, and now I'm made alive in Christ because of the great love of God? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, in your love for us, have made us alive with Christ by grace through faith. And Father, I pray for everybody who's listening right now. God, all of us feel this at times and struggle with the need to people please, the feeling of not being enough. God, would you just remind us of what is true? And in that truth, in you, Jesus, to experience the freedom that you've bought for us. God, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.